We will move now into the first section of testimonies, hate crimes and discrimination. Thank you.
Thank you, Justice Smith, for a wonderful introduction to all the commissioners. And thank you all for being here with us today. My name is Jasmeet Singh, and I'm the Director of Education for the Sikh Coalition. Before we start this section, there is a request from the stage manager to say that no private videotaping of this event is allowed. Only the press authorized people can be videotaping this event. So I want to make that very clear before we start the next section. America has changed. America has changed since the fateful day in September, and so have our lives. We all share the agony, like any other American, about what the terrorist had done to our country and our faith in respect for all. At the same time, all across America, people were targeted based on their ethnicity, color, religion, faith, or perceived faith. In the weeks and months following September 11th, we opened our newspapers to horrible incidents of hate crime. We would like to call your attention to these events. An elderly Sikh man beaten with a baseball bat in New York. Two Muslim girls beaten in college in Illinois. Mosques were firebombed in Washington, D.C. and San Diego. Sikh arrested for wearing a kirpan in Providence, Rhode Island. These communities were assaulted by none other than fellow Americans. In the 3 months following September 11th, the Council for Arab American Relations registered 1,400 hate crimes against Arabs and Muslims. In the same 3 months, Nepalsi recorded 250 bias-motivated incidents targeting Asian Americans. The Sikh Coalition, in the same time period, recorded 200 confirmed incidents of hate and bias and discrimination against Sikhs. 4 days after September 11th, a Sikh man by the name of Balbir Singh Sodhi was shot and killed while he was watering his plants in front of his gas station. As the suspect for Sodhi's murder was being arrested, he said, "I'm for America all the way." In a tragic postscript, Sodhi's younger brother, Sukhpal Singh Sodhi, was killed 9 months later from the same family. On the very same day that Balbir Singh Sodhi was shot, 2 hours after that, Adil Kras, a Coptic Christian from Egypt, and Vasan Hassan Chaudhry, a Muslim from Pakistan, were also shot. Many mosques, gurdwaras, and other places identified with these communities have been vandalized or at worst burnt. Within the first week of September 11th, scores of the 40,000 Middle Eastern students attending the universities around the US left because of fears of reprisals by Americans angry at the attacks in Washington, D.C. and New York. At Washington State University, 44% of the Arab students left within the first week. While the first wave of hate crimes has abated, there has been continued and increasing anti-immigrant and perceived immigrant backlash sweeping this country, often showing its face in the form of employment and housing discrimination. According to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, about 650 charges have been filed by people who believe they were fired or harassed because of the backlash. Lack of accurate information by some political leaders and news reporters resulted in causing greater damage to these communities. In a rush to be first and without thinking, they lit the spark of hateful acts. Despite the secular agenda of American values, the mass media continued to inflame the uninformed mind by incomplete and inadequate analysis of the situation. For example, a certain representative from Louisiana, a person who's representing all of us, made it clear that if he saw someone come in that's got a diaper on his head and a fan belt wrapped around the diaper on his head, the guy needs to be pulled over. His endorsement of racial profiling for those wearing turbans only propagates fear of things new and uncommon for the majority. Many of our public officials have come out openly against hate crimes, and I applaud them for that. It is important to note that these statements were, though, undercut by contrary government actions that you will hear about later in the testimonies. President Bush's message of tolerance that you see on the screen here has been devalued by continued actions by the administration that expressly target individuals based on religion or ethnicity, or ask people to report others simply because they appear suspicious. We ask the federal and state and local elected officials to consider that public denouncements of hate activity must be supported by policies that ensure protection of civil liberties. They say, if you want to see into the future, look into the eyes of a child. Unfortunately, as you will hear today, children have not been spared from this mindless hate. Teasing is a part of growing up for almost all children, and they have to face it through their life. But imagine what it feels to be called Osama bin Laden because of the turban you wear, to be constantly associated with terrorists, or to be socially isolated because of your religion or culture or color. The sense of American nation and the liberty of our citizens is the diversity of cultures, perspectives, and values. We ask you today to listen to these testimonies being presented by these people with open hearts and minds. These are pleas of men, women, and children who have laid their faith in you as leaders of their communities and this country, and ask you to uphold the values that form the basis of this society and have been enshrined by the founding fathers of our Constitution. Thank you.
Farida khalak khalak mein, khalak vasay rab mahe, manda kisno aakhi hai, chantis bin koi nahe. Farid, the creator is in the creation, and the creation abides the God. Whom can we call bad? There is none without him. Waheguru Ji Ka Khalsa, Waheguru Ji Ki Fateh. Good morning, everybody. My name is Jasbir Kaur. I have been a Sunday school teacher in Sikh Temple, Renton, since 1995. I've seen firsthand effect of bullying and harassment and teasing on many children in my class. After September 11, these incidents became even worse. These children, who are Sikhs and Muslims, have come here to tell you about their stories, the incidents, what have happened to them. Now, the children will introduce themselves. Children were asked what happened to them after 9/11, and they told us in their own words, which you'll hear now. Please listen to their stories. Thank you very much.
Thank you. said, stop. And then he never stopped it. And then I tell my teacher. And then he stopped it, and he wanted to suspend it, and he's do again and again and again. And then he suspended on my glass.
When people say things about your hair, how does it make you feel?
Sad.
He said that, what are you wearing on your head? And then I didn't talk to him because he was talking about my hair. And then I said to him that, stop it. And then he wasn't stopping. He said that, get rid of your hairs. And then I said, I don't want to. And then I went to the teacher.
How did that make you feel?
Sad.
When I'm playing at recess on the bars, some people touch me and go away and they call me names about my hair and my scarf. And sometimes they call me a baby or a stupid head. So I just had to play in a secret place they never went into. But I knew where one place they never liked to play, so I went there. And they never found out where I was.
Why do you think she was doing that to you?
I don't know. I think she doesn't like me.
What did it make you feel like?
Sad and kind of mad.
There were these two boys. They said that, go back where you came from. And I really felt very sad. And then next day, I was at the bars with a group of friends, and they said I couldn't become, one of them said that I couldn't become the president of the United States because I am a woman and I am Muslim. And after September 11th, they think that Somalians are terrorists. They're not.
This person called me a hamburger head, and then I felt so mad, so I took 3 breaths, and then I got calm. I told my teacher, this other teacher that's on the playground, but they don't care. They don't care about religion.
How did you feel when he called you a hamburger head?
Not so good. Really sad.
What would you say to kids who are making fun of other kids?
Yeah.
Stop that, please.
Once I stayed after school to play basketball, 2 boys came up. One boy had boxing gloves on. One boy took my basketball and he started punching me till a teacher came and gave me my basketball back. And I was on the ground crying. I've been hit so many times. It's like, I don't even know why the point I came to America for. When I moved to Auburn, I thought I might go away because nobody knew me here. So I was like, maybe I could be different. Yeah, but still, then September 11 happened and people started being mean to me again. Called me Habib, Tallhead, Pepperhead, everything like that.
Has it gone away?
Not. People still call me those names here.
What would you say to kids who are bullying other kids?
Why don't you just quit? Can't you see it hurts people? Even if they don't show it.
Thanks a lot for listening to their stories. I cannot appreciate your time, and I cannot express in words how much it means to us for you all being here. Thank you again.
We have a personal request to ask of you. A lot of these stories are very solemn and very painful for these people to relate. And we actually applaud these people who are being brave enough to come in front of all of you and speak to all of you. But at the same time, we don't want us to clap for what they're doing. So we again request you not to clap after each of the testimonies is presented. Thank you.
أنا لاجئ من العراق.
I am a refugee from Iraq.
لدي زوجة وطفلان.
I have a wife and 2 children.
جئت للولايات المتحدة عام 1995.
I came to United States in 1995.
وبصفتي لاجئ.
In my capacity as a refugee,
وفي عام 1998,
in the year 1998,
انتقلت إلى شقق الإسكان التابعة لمحافظة كين.
I moved to live in the King County Housing Project.
وهناك في شقتنا المزدوجة لم يتودد لنا جيراننا.
In the duplex I lived in, the neighbors that we have there didn't like us.
ولا مدير قسم الإسكان.
And not even the principal, the manager of that department.
وفي المرة الأولى قالت جارتنا.
The first time our neighbor told us.
إنه يجب أن لا تسكن هنا.
They told us that we shouldn't have lived there.
وفي المرة الثانية تحدثت إلي وإلى زوجتي.
And in the second time, she talked to me and to my wife.
بكلام بذيء.
In a profane words.
ليس لسبب معين إلا لكوننا مسلمين.
Not for any other reason other than being Muslims.
ولقد استهزأت.
And she made fun and joked about.
من زوجتي بسبب وضعها الحجاب.
About my wife of wearing the veil.
وعندها قمت بإبداء التذمر والشكوى.
At that time, I complained and submitted a form to say that.
حيث قصدت المدير.
And then I went to the principal, to the manager there.
وطلبت منها مساعدتي فرفضت.
And I asked her for her assistant, but she refused.
أما جارتي فقد تابعت التحدث مع زوجتي بكلام غير لائق.
The neighbor continued talking to me and to my wife with unreasonable words and unreasonable language.
كان يتمادى من سيء إلى أسوأ.
And this conversation was going from worse to worse.
أنتم مسلمون.
You are Muslims.
مسلمون قادرون.
You are filthy Muslims.
وشتمت زوجتي.
And she said bad words to my wife.
بأسماء قبيحة.
With a very bad words.
واتصلت بالشرطة.
She contacted the police.
دون أن يكون هناك سبب لذلك.
And because there was no reason for any of that.
وحضرت الشرطة.
The police came.
ثم انصرفت.
Then they went away.
لقد أنهكتنا بمضايقتها.
She make it very hard with her harassment.
وكان هذا الحال لثلاث سنوات.
And this situation continued for three years.
لقد تعرضنا لوقت قاسٍ.
We have faced a very difficult time.
لن نترك البيت ولن نستطيع الركود في غرفة النوم.
We didn't leave the house and we were unable to sleep in our bedroom.
بل نمنا في غرفة الاستقبال لأنهم كانوا يقرعون ويخبطون على الحائط باستمرار.
We have to stay in our living room because they were kicking on the walls all night.
إذا نمنا فكما تعرفون فإن طفلينا كانوا مذعورين خلال الليل.
And when we go to sleep, we know that our children were scared at night.
لأنهم كانوا يتخيلون أن الساحر متواجد.
Because they were imagining that the genie or the fairy were in our house.
لذلك لأن البيت كان يهتز في منتصف الليل وفي ساعات الفجر الأولى.
The house was shaken in the middle of the night and in the early morning hours.
إن طفلينا كانوا مذعورين.
Our children, they were afraid.
خلافا لي ولزوجتي.
Me and my wife, we understood the situation.
حيث كنا نعرف أن الجيران كانوا يخبطون الحائط لكنهما لم يعرف ماذا كان يجري هناك.
We know that the neighbor was beating at the door, but our children didn't know what was happening.
إنه لأم تعيس وصعب.
It is a miserable and difficult situation.
أن أصفه بكلمات.
And it is very difficult to describe it in words.
بعدها قصدت المدير والمدير العام.
Then I went to the manager and the general manager.
وتحدثت معه عن الوضع.
And then I described the situation for them.
حيث أننا لم نشعر بالأمان.
I told them that we didn't feel comfortable there.
لم نشعر بالراحة.
We didn't feel in safety.
وشعرت أن جارتي كانت تتمادى يوما بعد يوم.
And my neighbor was continuing getting worse with her action day after day.
بسبب أنه لم يخطرها أحد بأمرها.
Because nobody actually asked her to refrain from her action.
لم يكفها عن عملها.
Nobody asked her to stop her work or her action.
أو يتحدث إليها
or even to talk to her.
ولم يساعدني ولا عائلتي أحد.
Nobody helped my family or me.
وفكرت لأنه لا يوجد أحد لمساعدتي أو لمساعدة عائلتي.
Because I find out that there is no one to help me and to help my family.
وشعرت أنهم هنا سيئون في معاملتي.
I felt that people here were bad because in their treatment to us.
لأننا مسلمين.
Because we are Muslims.
لقد كان سلوكهم نفس الشيء.
Their behavior was the same.
مع جيرانهم المسلمين الذين كانوا يسكنون في نفس شقتنا من قبل.
With the same people, the same Muslim people who were living in our apartment before.
كانوا معهم نفس الحالة الذي نواجهه الآن.
They were with them with the same condition and situation that we are facing now.
نفس الحالة.
The same situation.
ولم يكفها أحد.
Nobody has stopped her from this.
عن هذا.
Of this action.
لهذا أشعر بخيبة أمل.
For this reason, I feel disappointment and hopeless.
وأشعر بأن عائلتي في المستقبل لا تريد العيش في الولايات المتحدة.
And I feel that my family in the future doesn't want to live in the United States.
لأنهم لا يشعرون بالراحة.
Because they do not feel safe and comfortable.
ولأنهم لا يشعرون أن الأمريكيين لا يدعونهم و. يدعمونهم ولا يقدمون لنا المساعدة.
And because they feel that American they will not support them and would never give to them support that they need.
لنشعر بالأمان والطمأنينة.
Or give us anything to feel with safety or with peace.
بعد 11 من سبتمبر.
After the 11th of September.
أصبح جيراننا أسوأ وأسوأ.
My neighbor became worse and worse.
حيث خرجوا من شقتهم وبقوا هناك يسمعوننا بعض الكلمات البذيئة.
They went out of sight of the house and with the intention to let us hear a profane language.
قالوا لنا إننا إرهابيون.
They told us that we are terrorists.
وإننا ليس فينا الخير.
And that we are people who are not good.
وأنه يجب علينا أن نترك الولايات المتحدة.
And that we must leave United States.
لقد مرضت زوجتي بسبب هذا.
My wife got sick because of this situation.
لقد كانت مرعوبة.
She was scared.
لم تستطيع النوم.
She was unable to sleep.
ولم نذق طعم النوم بسبب شعورنا بعدم الأمان.
And we haven't tasted the taste of sleeping for a period of time because we didn't have safety.
إنها تود الرجوع إلى العراق.
She would like to return back to Iraq.
إن الكثير من العرب والمسلمين يشعرون بنفس الشيء.
Many of the Arabs and Muslims feel the same way.
الذي نحس به.
That we feel ourselves.
لأنهم لا يشعرون بالأمان والطمأنينة.
Because they don't feel safe.
في الولايات المتحدة.
In the United States.
إنهم ينتظرون.
They are waiting.
خاصة أولئك الذين جاءوا من العراق.
Especially those who came from Iraq.
إنهم ينتظرون زوال أو إطاحة صدام حسين من الحكومة.
They are waiting for the departure or the removal of Saddam Hussein from power.
عندها سيرجعون لبلدهم حيث سيشعرون بالأمان أكثر.
And at that time they will be able to go back to their country and they will feel safe.
وبطمأنينة وراحة أكبر.
And with the most comfort.
لقد تحدث مع المدير.
I talked to the principal, to the manager.
فلم تبدي أي اهتمام.
And didn't show me any attention.
وقالت عني إني كذاب.
And she told me that I was a liar.
أردت منهم تنحية المدير.
She was claiming that I was trying to remove the manager from there.
لأنني لست وحدي بل هناك الكثيرون الذين قاسوا وعانوا.
But it is not just me, but me and other people who suffered because of this situation.
إنهم يكابدون.
They are really suffering.
وهل تفهمون ما أقول؟
Do you understand what I mean?
Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. میرا نام کلوندر سنگھ ہے. میں کینٹ بشنگٹن وچ رہندا ہاں. کئی سالاں تو ٹیکسی چلاندا ہاں. واہگرو دی میر نال میرے ایک لڑکا تے لڑکی ہے.
My name is Kulwinder Singh. I live in Kent, Washington. I have been driving a taxi for years. I have been blessed with two kids, one boy, one girl.
میں تھانوں 11 ستمبر 2001 توں بعد دیاں گھٹناواں دسنا چاہندا ہاں جنہاں نے میری زندگی بدل دتی ہے.
I want to tell you how the events since September 11th have changed my life.
13 نومبر نوں راتیں 11 بجے مینوں ہوائی اڈے دے نیڑےوں ایک ریسٹورنٹ دے وچوں دو سواریاں چکن لے کے آ گیا.
On September 13th at 11 p.m., I was told by the dispatch staff to pick up two customers from a restaurant close to the airport.
ਜਦੋਂ ਮੈਂ ਉੱਥੇ ਪਹੁੰਚਿਆ ਤਾਂ ਦੋਹਾਂ ਵਿੱਚੋਂ ਇੱਕ ਬੰਦਾ ਬਾਹਰ ਆਇਆ ਅਤੇ ਮੇਰੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਚਲਾਉਣ ਲੱਗਾ, ਯੂ ਆਰ ਏ ਟੈਰਰਿਸਟ.
When I reached the location, one of the two gentlemen came outside and started shouting, you are a terrorist.
ਮੈਂ ਸਮਝ ਗਿਆ ਕਿ ਉਹਨੂੰ ਮੇਰੀ ਪੱਗ ਅਤੇ ਦਾੜੀ ਵੇਖ ਕੇ ਗਲਤੀ ਲੱਗੀ ਹੈ ਅਤੇ ਮੈਂ ਉਸ ਬੰਦੇ ਨੂੰ ਦੱਸਿਆ ਕਿ ਮੈਂ ਸਿੱਖ ਹਾਂ ਅਤੇ ਮੇਰਾ ਟੈਰਰਿਸਟ ਨਾਲ ਕੋਈ ਵਾਸਤਾ ਨਹੀਂ.
I knew he was mistaking me because of my turban and beard, and I explained to the gentleman that I was a Sikh and did not have anything to do with the terrorist.
Dooja banda aje bahar nahi si aaya aa reha. Main keha ke tusi chahunde ho ke main taxi zyada der rokan ta mainu meter chalana pavega.
The other man was not showing up, so I said, if you would like me to wait longer, I will have to switch the meter on.
Es utte oh banda bhadak paya ate phir chalan laga, you are terrorist Osama, you have renewed and blown up America.
At this, he got very agitated and started shouting, you are a terrorist Osama, you have ruined us and blown up America.
Main us diyan gallan di parwah nahi kiti kyunki japda si ke usne piti hui hai.
I ignored him because he seemed to be drunk.
Phir dooja banda bhi aa gaya te pehle ne us nu dassya ke eh atwadi hai, atwadi apni taxi sade layi rok nahi sakda.
Finally, the other person showed up and the first gentleman told the second man, he's a terrorist. The terrorist cannot wait his taxi for us.
ਫਿਰ ਦੋਵੇਂ ਮਿਲ ਕੇ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਬੁਰਾ ਭਲਾ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਅਤੇ ਮੇਰੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਚਲਾਣ ਲੱਗੇ.
Then both of them joined together in calling me names and shouting at me.
ਮੈਨੂੰ ਖਤਰਾ ਲੱਗਿਆ ਅਤੇ ਮੈਂ ਫਿਰ ਕਿਹਾ, ਇਸ ਲਈ ਮੈਂ ਟੈਕਸੀ ਚਲਾਉਣ ਤੋਂ ਨਾ ਕਰ ਦਿੱਤੀ.
I became very alarmed and was afraid for my safety, so I refused to drive and requested them to vacate my taxi.
ਜਦੋਂ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਟੈਕਸੀ ਚੋਂ ਨਿਕਲਣ ਤੋਂ ਇਨਕਾਰ ਕੀਤਾ ਤਾਂ ਮੈਂ ਕਿਹਾ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਪੁਲਿਸ ਬੁਲਾਉਣੀ ਪਵੇਗੀ.
When they refused to get out of the taxi, I said that I would have to call the police.
ਉਹਨਾਂ ਕਿਹਾ ਕਿ ਮੈਂ ਇੰਜ ਨਾ ਕਰਾਂ ਅਤੇ ਜਦੋਂ ਮੈਂ ਫੋਨ ਚੁੱਕਣ ਦੀ ਕੋਸ਼ਿਸ਼ ਕੀਤੀ ਤਾਂ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੇ ਮੇਰੀ ਬਾਹ ਫੜ ਲਈ.
They told me that I should not do so, and when I tried to reach for my phone, they grabbed my arm.
ਮੈਂ ਕੁੱਦ ਕੇ ਟੈਕਸੀ ਚੋਂ ਬਾਹਰ ਆ ਗਿਆ ਤਾਂ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੋਹਾਂ ਨੇ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਫੜ ਲਿਆ.
I jumped out of the cab and both of them grabbed me. They tore
ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੇ ਮੇਰੀ ਦਾੜੀ ਫੜਨ ਅਤੇ ਪੱਗ ਲਾਉਣ ਦੀ ਕੋਸ਼ਿਸ਼ ਕੀਤੀ. ਇਹ ਇੱਕ ਸਿੱਖ ਵਜੋਂ ਇਹ ਗੱਲ ਮੇਰੇ ਲਈ ਬਹੁਤ ਹੀ ਦਰਦਨਾਕ ਸੀ.
They tore part of my beard and knocked my turban on the side. This was extremely humiliating to me as a Sikh.
ਮੈਂ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਧੱਕ ਕੇ ਬਚ ਨਿਕਲਣ ਦੀ ਕੋਸ਼ਿਸ਼ ਕੀਤੀ ਅਤੇ ਰੈਸਟੋਰੈਂਟ ਅੰਦਰ ਦੌੜ ਗਿਆ.
I tried to push them to get away and ran inside the restaurant.
ਮੈਂ ਮਦਦ ਮੰਗੀ ਅਤੇ ਫੈਸਲਾ ਕੀਤਾ ਕਿ ਭਾਵੇਂ ਕੁਝ ਵੀ ਹੋ ਜਾਏ ਮੈਂ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਦੋਹਾਂ ਬੰਦਿਆਂ ਨੂੰ ਬਚ ਕੇ ਨਹੀਂ ਨਿਕਲਣ ਦਿਆਂਗਾ. ਮੈਂ ਜਾਣਦਾ ਸਾਂ ਕਿ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਕੋਲ ਕੋਈ ਹਥਿਆਰ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੈ, ਇਸ ਲਈ ਮੈਂ ਪੈਦਲ ਹੀ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦਾ ਪਿੱਛਾ ਕੀਤਾ ਅਤੇ 911 ਫੋਨ ਕਰਦਾ ਰਿਹਾ.
I asked for help and they decided that no matter what, I will not let these two men get away. I knew they did not have a weapon and so I pursued them on foot and called 911 on my phone.
ਉਹ ਸੜਕ ਪਾਰ ਕਰ ਗਏ ਅਤੇ ਮੈਂ 911 ਉੱਤੇ ਫੋਨ ਕਰ ਰਿਹਾ ਸੀ ਕਿ ਪੁਲਿਸ ਦੀ ਇੱਕ ਕਾਰ ਨੂੰ ਲਾਲ ਬੱਤੀ ਉੱਤੇ ਖੜੀ ਦੇਖਿਆ. ਪੁਲਿਸ ਅਫਸਰ ਸ਼ੁਰੂ ਵਿੱਚ ਤਾਂ ਬਹੁਤ ਰੁੱਖੀ ਸੀ ਪਰ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਦੋਹਾਂ ਬੰਦਿਆਂ ਨੂੰ ਫੜਵਾਉਣ ਲਈ ਇੱਕ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਨਾਲ ਤਰਲੇ ਮਿੰਨਤਾਂ ਕਰਨੀਆਂ ਪਈਆਂ.
They crossed the road and I was on the phone with 911 when I saw a police car standing at a traffic light. The officer was in fact a little rude at first and I had to literally beg her for help in catching the two culprits.
ਆਖਰ ਹਵਾਈ ਅੱਡੇ ਵੱਲੋਂ ਆਉਂਦੇ ਇੱਕ ਹੋਰ ਪੁਲਿਸ ਅਫਸਰ ਨੇ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਦੋਵਾਂ ਬੰਦਿਆਂ ਨੂੰ ਫੜ ਲਿਆ ਅਤੇ ਆਪਣੀ ਕਾਰ ਵਿੱਚ ਮੋੜ ਲਿਆਂਦਾ.
Another officer finally caught up with them and brought them back in his car.
ਉਹਨਾਂ ਤੋਂ ਅਤੇ ਮੇਰੇ ਤੋਂ ਪੁੱਛਗਿੱਛ ਕੀਤੀ ਗਈ.
They were questioned and so was I. ਜੀ ਅੱਗੇ ਵਾਲਾ ਕਿਉਂ ਬਹੁਤ ਟਾਈਮ ਕੱਟ ਗਿਆ.
ਫਿਰ ਪਹਿਲੀ ਅਫਸਰ ਨੇ ਮੇਰੇ ਕੋਲ ਆਏ ਅਤੇ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੀ ਕਿ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਬੰਦਿਆਂ ਨੂੰ ਮੈਂ ਕਾਉਂਟੀ ਤੋਂ ਬਾਹਰ ਲੈ ਜਾਏਗੀ ਅਤੇ ਉਹ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਕਦੇ ਤੰਗ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰਨਗੇ.
Then the first officer approached me and said that she would take them out of the county and they would never trouble me again.
Usne mainu salah ditti ki main baqaida report darj na karwama par main eh gall ukka na manni.
She advised me against filing a formal complaint but I absolutely refused.
Mainu fikr eh si ki je inna nu chhad ditta gaya tan kal nu eh phir kise hor Sikh driver naal inj da batira karnge.
My concern was that tomorrow they will meet another Sikh taxi driver wearing a turban and will behave the same way if they are allowed to go free.
ਮੈਂ ਅੜ ਗਿਆ ਕਿ ਮੈਂ ਸ਼ਿਕਾਇਤ ਦਰਜ ਕਰਵਾਉਣੀ ਹੈ ਅਤੇ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਗ੍ਰਿਫਤਾਰ ਕਰਵਾਉਣਾ ਹੈ
I said I absolutely want to file a case and want you to arrest them
ਮੇਰੇ ਬਹੁਤ ਜਿੱਦ ਕਰਨ ਉੱਤੇ ਉਸ ਪੁਲਿਸ ਅਫਸਰ ਨੇ ਰਿਪੋਰਟ ਦਰਜ ਕੀਤੀ
Finally because of my persistence she filed a report
ਉਸ ਤੋਂ ਬਾਅਦ ਪੁਲਿਸ ਅਫਸਰ ਦਾ ਵਿਵਹਾਰ ਕਾਫੀ ਚੰਗਾ ਸੀ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੋਹਾਂ ਬੰਦਿਆਂ ਨੂੰ 3 ਮਹੀਨੇ ਕੈਦ ਹੋਈ
They were very helpful after that the two men were given a short 3-month sentence
ਉਸ ਦਿਨ ਤੋਂ ਮੇਰੀ ਪਤਨੀ ਅਤੇ ਮੇਰੀ ਪਤਨੀ ਨੂੰ ਮੇਰੇ ਟੈਕਸੀ ਚਲਾਉਣ ਉੱਤੇ ਫਿਕਰ ਲੱਗਾ ਰਹਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ
Ever since then my wife has been very scared to let me drive a taxi
ਪਰ ਮੈਂ ਤਾਂ ਪਰਿਵਾਰ ਦਾ ਖਰਚਾ ਚਲਾਉਣਾ ਕਰਜ਼ਾ ਲਾਉਣੇ ਅਤੇ ਮੈਂ ਸਮਝਦਾ ਹਾਂ ਕਿ ਮੇਰੀ ਜਾਨ ਨੂੰ ਖਤਰਿਆਂ ਦੇ ਬਾਵਜੂਦ ਵੀ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਟੈਕਸੀ ਚਲਾਉਣੀ ਪਵੇਗੀ ਅਤੇ ਆਪਣੇ ਬੱਚਿਆਂ ਅਤੇ ਪਰਿਵਾਰ ਦਾ ਉਜਲ ਭਵਿੱਖ ਲਈ ਕੰਮ ਕਰਨਾ ਪਵੇਗਾ
But I have a family to raise, a mortgage to pay, and I realize, despite these dangers to my life, I will still need to drive the taxi and work towards a better future for my children and family.
ਮੈਂ ਹੁਣ ਵੀ ਬਹੁਤ ਕੋਸ਼ਿਸ਼ ਚੌਕਸ ਰਹਿੰਦਾ ਹਾਂ ਖਾਸ ਕਰਕੇ ਰੈਸਟੋਰੈਂਟ ਨੂੰ ਜਾਣ ਤੋਂ ਪਰਹੇਜ਼ ਕਰਦਾ ਹਾਂ ਜਿੱਥੇ ਲੋਕ ਬਹੁਤ ਰੁੱਖੇ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹਨ
I still try to be very careful and particularly avoid going to restaurants where people are less than polite.
ਹੁਣ ਵੀ ਕਈ ਵਾਰ ਅਜਿਹੀਆਂ ਸਵਾਰੀਆਂ ਮਿਲਦੀਆਂ ਹਨ ਜੋ ਕਿ you are bin laden you are a terrorist ਵਰਗੀਆਂ ਗੱਲਾਂ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹਨ
there are at times that I still meet customers who make comments like you are bin laden you are terrorist
ਪਰ ਮੈਂ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਵੱਲ ਧਿਆਨ ਨਹੀਂ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਮੈਂ ਸੋਚਦਾ ਹਾਂ ਕਿ ਜੇ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਸਜ਼ਾ ਦਵਾ ਵੀ ਦਿੱਤੀ ਉਹ ਛੇਤੀ ਛੁੱਟ ਜਾਣਗੇ ਅਤੇ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਹੋਰ ਵੀ ਪਰੇਸ਼ਾਨ ਕਰਨਗੇ
but I ignored them thinking that even if I press charges they will soon be free and may harm me even further
ਮੈਂ ਉਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਦੀ ਕੋਈ ਕੁਝ ਹੀ ਹਾਲਤ ਪੈਦਾ ਹੋਣ ਤੋਂ ਟਾਲਣਾ ਸਿੱਖ ਗਿਆ ਹਾਂ
I have learned to avoid creating a scene
ਅਦਾਲਤ ਨੇ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਪੁੱਛਿਆ ਕਿ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਪਹੁੰਚੇ ਨੁਕਸਾਨ ਨੂੰ ਪੂਰਾ ਕਰਨ ਲਈ ਕੀ ਕੀਤਾ ਜਾ ਸਕਦਾ ਹੈ
The court asked me what could be done to fulfill my loss
ਮੈਂ ਦੱਸਿਆ ਕਿ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਪਹੁੰਚੇ ਦੁੱਖ ਨੂੰ ਘਟ ਕਰਨ ਲਈ ਕੋਈ ਵੀ ਕੁਝ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰ ਸਕਦਾ ਇਸ ਘਟਨਾ ਨਾਲ ਮੇਰਾ ਦਿਲ ਟੁੱਟ ਗਿਆ ਹੈ ਅਤੇ ਦੁੱਖ ਪੀੜ ਅਤੇ ਡਰ ਵਿੱਚ ਜੀ ਰਿਹਾ ਹਾਂ
I told them that there was nothing that anyone could offer me that would heal my pain. The event has broken my heart. I live in anguish, pain and fear.
Thank you.
In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, my name is Yasmin. And I'm here today to tell you that my family has been in the state of Washington for over 120 years. So this is my home. Yet when I walk down the street, half a mile from my high school or near the place where I was born, I'm asked to go home. So I don't feel comfortable living in my home any longer. Thank you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, the most merciful, the most compassionate. Ladies and gentlemen, honorable commissioners, I'd like to start off by my brief testimony with showing my sincere gratitude to each and every one of you to give me the chance to speak before you. My name is Isa Kandil. I am a Jordanian American, born and raised in a Palestinian refugee camp. I migrated 6 years ago to the United States, following the path of the millions since its inception. I came here seeking a dream that I could not translate into reality, but in this land of the free. During the 6 years I lived here, I've been enjoying the freedom that I could not find anywhere else, including my home country. Unfortunately, that dream and freedom were shattered on the eve of September 11, along with the dreams of all the victims who unjustifiably lost their lives or the ones who had to suffer the consequences of that day. My personal experience with September 11 is that, briefly, I want to share it with you just to show you how easy it is for somebody to lose his life in the midst of hatred and blindness. My personal experience was that I was attacked by a person that I have never met before. My only crime in his eyes was that I belonged to a different denomination of faith than his. I was heading to my car in the Idris Mosque, that in Northgate. I was heading to my car in the parking lot after finished the last prayer service at around 10 p.m. on September 13th, 2 days after the tragedy. When I got to my car, there was a gentleman who was just done with pouring gas on the cars in an attempt to burn them. Taken by surprise, I asked him what he was doing there, but there was no response from him. He started walking away with a can of gas in one of his hands and a handgun in the other that I thought by then it was a torch. When I saw that, I really insisted on knowing what he was doing there. So I asked him, "Sir, I'm sorry, I can't let you leave before telling me what you were doing here." His only response was, he looked at me and he said, "I'm gonna shoot you." And then I realized that he had a gun in the other hand. And I was really surprised that I was never put in such a position, even in the Middle East, for 25 years that I lived there. So my reaction was, "You wanna shoot me? Shoot me." And he really did, started clicking his gun. And again, the bullet did not leave the chamber like 3 times, and he started running away, and he tried 1/4 times where it really did leave the chamber, and it missed, fortunately. I was scared, of course. And I told a friend of mine who was actually at the scene to call the police when I started following him, and we started chasing cars. And you know, just to make it brief on you, he ran himself into an electricity pole and he hurt himself, and the police showed up after that and he was detained. He's still detained. That was my little experience, actually. And when he was detained and a gentleman from the FBI showed up, and they were great in their reaction. They were talking about hate crimes and making an example of the guy, et cetera, which I really was not interested in any of that, you know. For seeing people lose their lives, and for me, that I was that close to lose my life over an issue that I had never actually heard of, but on the night of September 11, my reaction was, I'm not really interested in sending the guy for like 12 or 18 or whatever to prison. He's 53. So it did not, you know, wasn't to do him any good by sending him to prison for 12 or even 10 years. I tried to help him in any way I could, and most importantly that I forgave him from the bottom of my heart. That's because of my religion. My religion encourages forgiveness and encourages peace. And this is what we claim, that if we are all religious from different religions, and all our religions call for peace and forgiveness. And we really have to prove that claim. We really always have to show that. Otherwise, I don't think there is any significance for our lives. My feelings after that incident is that although it's been a little over a year now, I'm still confused about the whole experience. I still don't feel safe. Until today, I have to look around much more than any normal person does. When I drive, when I leave my home in the morning to go to work, when I come back, I still have to watch over my shoulder. I never dare to leave my backyard door open. But I'm sad more than I am scared, honestly. My dream has been hijacked. After spending 25 years of my life in the Middle East, I thought I found the land of my dreams. It sure has been for the last 6 years. Now these dreams seem blurry to me, and that land seems too far away, the land of the free. I don't feel free here anymore. The sadness is indescribable, and there is really nowhere to go when you are in your home, when I feel the United States is my home, yet I still feel homesick. Thank you very much for letting me share this incident with you. I appreciate it.
Representative Inslee has to leave, and he's asked me to give him an opportunity to respond to a question that I have for him. Concerns have been raised about the role of Congress in overseeing the actions of the Attorney General of the United States and protecting all but not some of the public. The Patriot Act passed by Congress was passed with little discussion, with the assurance to the public that civil rights abuses would be monitored. Our communities represented here believe it is critical for congressional members such as you to question the path of the administration, to push for congressional oversight to monitor the actions of the Attorney General, and to establish a separate Office of Civil Rights and Civil Liberties with the powers of a Super Inspector General. Now, Mr. Congressman, how do you respond?
Well, first, I want to thank you for a chance to say hello there, and I want to thank the organizer. This is a tremendous opportunity. I wish John Ashcroft was here, actually. It would have been helpful, I think. Before I answer specifically the question, Justice, let me just tell you, 10 days ago, I was in New York with the first joint congressional meeting outside of Washington, D.C., actually the second in American history. And we went to meet to pay our respects at the site of the September 11th attacks, and we also had a joint session at the Federal Hall. And I felt two very, very strong, I think both American sentiments when I was in New York that day. First, at the site of this five-story deep pit where so many people died, I felt the obvious human emotions of sorrow, tremendous sorrow for the victims of this attack. But about a mile away, when we convened in the Federal Hall, it was the place where George Washington took the oath of office, and I got to touch the Bible he took his oath on. And it was also the place where the Bill of Rights was adopted. And any member of the U.S. Congress who stood there where the Bill of Rights was adopted should know deep in their heart that they need to stand up on their back legs and make sure that the Bill of Rights is not damaged, and freedom of speech is not damaged, and freedom of religion is not damaged, and liberty is not damaged because of this war. And I feel very strongly about that. And we're going to make sure that does not happen. Now, in specific answer to this great question, I believe that the Attorney General has stepped over the line in several circumstances. That's why I have written a letter to the Attorney General suggesting that he reconsider in at least three instances his position. Number one, secret detentions a year after this attack have more to do or more consistent with Argentina than the United States. Number two, trying to turn our postal workers and letter carriers into domestic spies, I think, is a bad idea. And number three, I think, as the very first speaker talked about, having a system of checks and balances, we need to have judicial rule of people in detention. And I think the idea deserves consideration of a separate office to consider these matters, but we shouldn't wait for that. Members of Congress have got to speak up. We will, and thank you very much. Take care.